So very quickly this evening, I just want to show off what I've titled, Living from Reality. And obviously, I cannot go in depth in my teaching. So what I would do is, I would continue next week, maybe in the Tuesday Bible studies. I'll just touch an aspect of it because there are three cardinals that defines and empowers an individual to begin to live from the realm of reality. You see, all of us look like we are in the same plane. But the truth is that we are not functioning from the same plane. Because when you look at the creation of man, one thing you'll discover is the mystery of the order of life that God injected into the human vessel. When God began the project of man, he decided to create man in such a way that he was able to live from all the realms of reality. And that is because God had planned from time immemorial that man was going to be his host in the realm of creation. I've taught you before that before creation began, God was. And so the realities of God is not completely captured within creation. Creation alone cannot host God. And so one of the things that the wisdom of God fabricated is a possibility for him to, although bigger than creation, but to be condensed into creation so that creation can interact with his reality. Because creation itself was not when God was. That's why the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So before creation began, God was. Before God was creator, God was something else. But we don't have access to that knowledge because we are creators. So it's only things that are fabricated within creation that we can know. And we don't have to bother ourselves because that civilization is not designed for us to participate in it. Glory to God. So when God decided to create man, he created man in a way that man will be able to host him. And because he needed man to host him, man was given the capacity to function in all the realms so that God is not squeezed out of any realm. So if you look at man, man has a life order that powers the flesh. Man also has a life order that powers the soul. Man also has the life order that powers the spirit. Man is the only being that has all of the dimensions of life that exist in the realm of God. Because when you read your Bible, you are going to discover there are three major words used for life. The first word used for life and the third word for life is bios. When you talk about bios, we are talking about the life of the blood. So any being that has blood has life. That's where all the animals fall into. In fact, Leviticus 17 verse 3, the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if an animal has blood, that animal has the capacity of that order of life. Glory to God. So everything that has blood has life. That's why all of us will need to carry a substance that is red inside us, whether man or beast. Now, it's not even about the color. It's just the fact that that liquid is able to trap the essence of life so that animation is possible. So the Bible said, the reason God even does atonement by blood is because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Then there is another order of life that powers the intellect or the soul. If you study Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said, when God created the man, he gathered the dust from the ground. And then the man God created, he put him inside the dust. He said he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. Why am I sounding like I'm talking and something is echoing from another place? It's my sound people. I almost commended them last week, but I held my peace. I didn't want to rush. I'm talking. It's like somebody else is bringing the volume from another place. We want to journey this evening. Oh my God. I don't bother myself yet until we move from here. When we move from here, then we will correct everything. From gadget to tech, everything. But for now, Let's be mechanical. Are you following? So God breathed into the nostril of the man, and the man became a living soul. So God specifically told us that life was to power the soul. That's why you have the capacity of emotion. You have the capacity of reasoning and will. You have the capacity of intellect. All of these things came alive when the soulish life was imparted into you. Otherwise, you would have been a body with little or no reasoning, little or no intellect, little or no willpower. Because the level of that expression is not captured in the blood. It's captured in the soul. And so when you see that creatures are graded based on intelligence, it's the quality of the soulish life. Man has the highest quality of the soulish life. That's why in the realm of animated beings, man is the one that controls, because he dominates by his soulish powers. God breathed into his nostrils. But notice, even after God breathed into his nostrils, in Genesis 2 verse 9, the Bible still told us that God planted a tree in the garden. And in the middle of the garden was the tree of life. That means this metamorphosis of the man was not yet complete. He already had the life of the blood. He had the life of the soul. But he does not yet have the life of the spirit. The life of the spirit is the same life that animates God. And God decided to put that life in the middle of the garden so that the man, upon willful obedience, will take of that tree and eat. That was when Satan hijacked the creation of man. Because he knew that if man ate of that tree, the man will be brought into the God class. He will begin to function like a God man. Because now he would have carried the power that animates divinity. The same life that was in God would have been the life that the man would have. This is why you notice that there are godless men who are intelligent. They are inventive. Because the soulish life gives you that capacity. You can think, you can discover, you can model things. Because God gave you that token when he breathed into the nostril of the man. The man was not yet like God, but he could carry out certain feats so long as the soulish life had been imparted. But when the man decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, God said, we can't allow him eat of the God life anymore. Because if he eats of the God life, he becomes an immortal. And if he becomes an immortal, he will be eternally condemned. Because immortality means without corruption. So that life is actually a life that you carry when you are no longer considered corruptible. So God said, we will not let him have this life and still carry the verdict of corruption. He will be condemned forever and redemption will be impossible. So when God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, it was an act of love. Because if the man was in the garden, he would have still gone to eat of the tree of life in a state of condemnation. He would have become like Satan. It would have been impossible to redeem him because he has tested immortality while he was yet corrupt. Glory to God. So what God did was that God excused him from the garden and paid the price for his sin. When the judgment was removed, God now gave him that life. So if you read your Bible, what Jesus came to do was to give you the life that you didn't take in Eden. That's why John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. Both of them are actually the same. The word is Zoe and Anion. It means the life of the age to come. It doesn't just mean the life of God. It means the life of what? The age to come. The life that will power the dispensation of eternity. That was the life given to you. So you are walking in time, but you have been made a creature of eternity. Now, I'm laying this foundation so you understand. Eternal life or everlasting life is the same thing. The word is Zoe and Anion. The life of the age to come. It's like you were imported from another dispensation and brought into time. So when a man is living by the animal life, the creatures of that aeon, when they look at him, they are wondering. He doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know who he is. You know, when John went to that aeon, he thought he was a stranger. Because those who live in that aeon, they've grown in that life. They have the powers, the propensities of that life in manifestation. So he saw one of them. The glory was too much. He wanted to bow. And the guy said, don't worship me. I'm like you. I'm one of your brethren. The only difference is that I'm older than you here. You went into another dispensation. You were trapped in that dispensation. But stay for a while. Your dimension will also manifest. Oh, Mahariata case. Sesena Farukata. Did you not look at Jesus? While Jesus was walking in time, what is it about time that arrested him? He was never sick. Because he carried a life from a dispensation where sickness does not exist. So Jesus refused to be trapped in time.
by the powers of time. While Jesus was walking in this realm, he didn't need transport. But in order for you not to run when you see him, he will join you and climb a horse. But when there is no horse, he bilocated. Jesus didn't need a boat. But if he's floating on water every day, you will run. But the thing is that when there was no boat, Jesus was never troubled. In fact, there was no record that he prayed. He just glided on water. He was just floating on water. Because it's an aeon that you cannot be victimized. You cannot be disadvantaged. It's a superior existence. Oh my God. Jesus went to a wedding feast. They said the wine is out. And Jesus said, what is that? They said, jar of water. He said, put water there. They put water. He didn't pray. Take it. Go and give the governor of the feast. How did the water know what he wanted? Because in that realm, even thought is a language. You don't need to open your mouth. You can bring government by thinking. So long as he thought it should be water, the water obeyed the frequency that he was emitting. Because he had to bring the water to another order. In the order where he came from, what you desire is what you have. When he said you shall have what you say, he knows what he was saying. It's an order of existence. So Jesus was never disadvantaged, because although he brought himself low to the level of the blood life, he didn't allow the blood life to trap him. He was still able to live the spirit life in its fullness. The problem with you and I is that we didn't begin from the spirit life. We began from the animal life. We developed the soulish life before we received the spirit life. So now we are novices in the corridor of the spirit life. So the spirit life's propensities are not yet in full manifestation. But Jesus began from the spirit life and took on the blood life. So the blood life could not master him. He only allowed what he chose to allow to find expression through him. But it is still not a disadvantage, because God has sent the Holy Spirit to enable you and I to master the life and the realm of God. Because that's where our nativity is from. And so this evening, I want to show you how to live in reality. Because the earth is not your reality. You are a pilgrim here. You are an ambassador here. If all you know to do are the things that are sustained by the government of the blood life or the soulish life, it means you have not entered your full potential. There is yet another height that you must enter. And for you to enter that height, you must be taught the oracles of God. Because that realm is governed by secrets and mysteries. The Bible said, we speak the wisdom of God amongst them that are perfect. It said this wisdom is not the wisdom that the princes of this world know. Because if they know, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, but that wisdom was hid for your own glory. So for your glory to manifest, you must tap into that wisdom, that secret. Because that secret is what governs the manifestation of that life. When you find two Christians operating in different order of authority, it's because of where they are living from. Some are Christians, but they are living from the blood realm. Others are Christians, they are living from the spirit realm. So one Christian is higher in rank than another. Not because God chose to separate us into cadres, but because he decided where he will live from. And tonight, I want to show you that beyond time, there are heights in Zion. There are realms that God has ordained you to function from. That's where your full manifestation will find expression. And the potential of your existence will become kinetic. When people meet you, they will meet your God. When people meet you, they will meet the dimension you carry. When people meet you, they will meet the framework of eternity that God has given you for your generation. That's when you can become a blessing and an answer to your generation. It's not far, but it must be caught. If you don't catch a lambano, you cannot enter into the framework of your reality. Are you ready this evening? I want to take you precept upon precept, lines upon lines. You know, when Jimmy was ministering, he moved into his reality. He moved. When he started at first, you knew he was singing songs, he knew. But a point came, he became volatile. He began to sing and another realm began to manifest. Another weight began to enter. Even the tongue became fluid. The energy became stronger. Because you can fluctuate and vasculate between spirit and flesh. It's your choice to determine where you will stay. Those who have become wise men in the spirit, what they do is that they stay in the spirit and they keep the flesh at bay. The Bible said, holy men of God, they spake as they were carried. They know how to journey from flesh to spirit. When you find a weak Christian, he's trapped in the flesh, regulated by the flesh. So when the battles of life comes, he doesn't know how to plug from where his weapons are. Because your weapons are spirit. They are not carnal. Meanwhile, you are living in the flesh. So when challenges come, you check. You don't have any weapon in the flesh. But you have not learned how to glide, how to soar into your reality. We are going to enter a course so that many will learn the secrets of God and begin to walk in their glory. In Deuteronomy 29:29, he said, the secret things belong to God. He said, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children. Our heritage are the things that are revealed. And so everyone must master how to walk there. We live in different planes. You and I can live in Asokoro, but the truth is that we live in different planes. It's your plane that determines your reality. Tell your neighbor, we live in different planes. Oh, hey! He had another tabernacle in heaven. He's not waiting for rapture. For this cause we grow. Step down so that you can catch me. Because of the three order of life that is installed in you, there are three planes you live from. The first plane is what we call the sense realm, the realm of the senses. And unfortunately, all of us are Christians, but many believers predominantly live from the sense realm. And the sense realm is divided into four. The first is what we call the realm of the flesh, the realm of carnality. This is a realm that is governed by the fallen nature, sinful desires, passions, and self-interest. This is where many live. The moment that fallen nature spares them, they can't hold themselves. The thing rules them and controls them like a remote control. But you know the danger is that that realm has one destination. It's called death. Paul was speaking in Romans 8 from verse 5 to 6. Those who live in the sense realm, he said, they are carnal. And he said, to be carnally minded is death. You see the way he puts it? For they, go back to verse 5. He said, for they that are after the flesh, we also call this the realm of the flesh. He said, they mind the things of the flesh. That's what dominates them. Their mind, that's why I call it sense realm, is on appetite, sinful desires, desires of the fallen nature. He said, but they that are after the spirit, the mind, the things of the spirit. So he's showing you realms of existence. Some live in the flesh realm. Some live in the spirit realm. So if you come into the flesh realm, he said in verse 6, you will die. No matter the oil we pour on you. That's why you see many people, they depend on their prophet to survive. Because they live in the sense realm, they cannot wield the powers of the ages to come. He said, they that are carnally minded, to be carnally minded is death. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there are those who live in the realm of the senses. And the first category are those in the flesh. They pursue the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh are predominantly sinful desires. Because the flesh is not your body, it's the fallen nature. So it's there, it controls them, it regulates them. When Christ came, he crucified the flesh, but the flesh left lust behind. Because now you have experience in the ways of the flesh. So even though flesh is crucified, flesh left lust behind. So those who live by the powers of lust, we say they are fleshly people. So it's the first realm of the mind, of the senses. The second realm of the senses is the realm of fear. They are governed by a continuous thought that anticipates evil and defeat. In fact, when good is happening to them, they are saying, when will evil come? They are governed. But what they don't know is that it's a realm. Because even God responds to them. Even devils respond to them. Because since it's your reality, every spirit that comes around you, that's what they perceive. This is why Ephesians 3:20 said, as powerful as God is, he said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. So because they are thinking and expecting evil, as powerful as God is, God can't do much in their lives. So the devil programs them through negative experiences, fearful information, and keeps them in a place where they are in constant anticipation of evil. Guess what? Evil keeps happening to them. And they think that they perceived it. That's why it happened. No, you didn't perceive it. You created it. Because that's your reality. Job 3:25. As blessed as Job was, in fact, the devil acknowledged that God created a hedge around Job. But hear what? See where Job was living. The things which I greatly feared have come upon me. That which I was afraid of is come unto me. Because that's his reality. Evil will always trace you. So there are those who live in the realm of fear, always anticipating evil. It's a sense reality. Number three, under the sense realm are those who live in the realm of logic and human reasoning. It's a life governed by intellectual analysis. Now, reasoning is a gift from God. But when you exalt it above revelation, it becomes a limitation. And that's where many people live. Seeing is believing. Until it makes sense, they are not involved. So when you are talking, they are waiting for it to make sense. Now, I'm not saying faith does not make sense. But there are things you understand by faith. That means it may not make sense yet, but your spirit gives you awareness. It's as your journey that the manifestation begins to make sense. But there are people that are logic and reasoning people. If it doesn't make sense, they are not there. But what they don't know is that 1 Corinthians 1:25 said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's why Proverbs 3:5 advised us. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. The Bible is telling you that there is a realm beyond your understanding. There is a realm beyond your reasoning. So don't live in the realm of reasoning. They must rationalize everything before they take steps. They live in the realm of logic. And then finally, there are those who live in the realm of sight. These ones walk by their emotions. They have to feel it before it is real to them. If they don't feel it, never they can't believe it. So it's their feelings that govern them. But you see, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight, not by sensory perception. There are heights beyond your emotion. See, many people who think they are spiritual, this is where they live. When you see them acting, they are responding to feelings. That's why they will do everything that looks spiritual, but they will not command the results of God. Because it's their emotions. They respond to feelings, not to the truth of God or the realities of God's realm. So there are men who live in the realm of the senses. Those who are powered by flesh or desires of sin. Those who are powered by fear or anticipation of evil. Those who are powered by logic and reasoning or intellectualism. And those who are powered by sight, emotionalism. Christian, religious, yet they can't see the things of God. This is where they live. Then the second realm of existence is what we call the realm of reality. The realm of reality is divided into three. Number one is the realm of faith. You know, John 16:13, Jesus was speaking. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he said, they will guide you into all realities. He wants you to live from reality. He wants you to function from reality. You were in the flesh. You were in the realm of logic. You were in the realm of fear. You were in the realm of your emotions. But he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, one of his errands is to lead you into reality. And then when you come into the realm of reality, they are divided into three. And the first is the realm of faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 2, Habakkuk 2 verse 4, Romans 1 17, Galatians 3 11, and Hebrews 10 38, it said, the just shall live by faith. So there are those who live from the realm of faith. Why they use their emotions? They use their minds, because God is not saying to throw them away. He gave them to you. They don't allow their mind and their emotions to have the final say. They are men of faith. So how do they live? They live by what the word says. So there are many times when the word will contravene their feelings. The word will not align to their mind. They will put their minds aside, put their feelings aside, and do what the word says. Because faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. Hearing by the word of God. So when you find anybody who lives in the realm of reality, that person is living by faith. Now, what do I mean by reality? When I say something is reality, I'm saying that's what God says it is. Environment can't change it. Time can't change it. Demons can't change it. Angels can't change it. You cannot change it. Something may be fact, but it may not be reality. That's the difference. Because something may be true, it may not be truth. Something may be a fact, it may not be reality. Are you following what I'm saying? See, you can look at something under red light. When the environment changes and you take it under green light, the facts will become different. In fact, you can be looking at something, you think that's the color. Then the scientists will tell you that's not the color. That's what is reflecting. Oh my God. Something may be reflecting a color, but that's not its color. It's the environment under which that thing is that is making it reflect that color. If you change the environment, that thing will start reflecting another color. And both of them are facts, but both of them are not truth. So when we say reality, we are saying you are functioning by what God says something is. Because if God says this is it, environment can't change it. Time can't change it. Spirits can't change it. Men can't change it. But for you to function there, you must be a man of faith. That means your reference is what the word says, not what your mind thinks, not what your emotion feel, not what you rationalize by your intellect. The reason many Christians are not wielding the powers of God is because they are not yet in the realm of reality. They love the things that reality sponsors, but unfortunately they are in a different environment. It's just like living in Nigeria and hoping that you will function like you are in America. Or you are in Nigeria, you are hoping that your reality will be like Dubai. Meanwhile, you are in Nigeria where they are taxing you over 40% of anything you have. But you come to Dubai, it's a tax-free zone. So it will be a big struggle. Are you following what I'm teaching you here? So if you want to manifest the things of God, you must live in the realm of God. If you don't live in the realm of reality, it will be difficult. See, there are times when God can send interventions. A prophet, an apostle. God can send angelic intervention. But see, if you want to really live the victorious life, you need to come into the realm of reality. Where you live from is what predominantly determines the things that govern your existence. That's why every believer, as much as is within your power and grace is supplied, you must migrate from the realm of the senses and come into the realm of reality. He said they justified. They live by faith. That's their realm. They don't just have faith. They don't just exercise faith. They live there. They don't call things what they see it. They call things what God calls things. Many times when they are talking, you think they are mad. Even them, it doesn't make sense to them. But there's a witness in their spirit. Because this is what God says it is. That's how it is. Many don't understand these secrets of life. That's why they are in another realm, trying to live the reality of another realm. You see, an emotional man, he weeps and weeps and weeps. After weeping, he thinks the reality of the realm will change because he wept. Your emotion is a realm. Leave that realm and come up. There are higher realms. Number two, the realm of reality is the realm of the spirit. It's a realm powered by the Holy Spirit. If you want to live in the realm of reality, the Holy Ghost must become the ruler of your life. The Holy Ghost must become the one who dictates the outcomes, the actions, and the effects of your life. If you are still at that level where you are struggling with the Holy Spirit, you are not ready for reality. There are people who quench the Spirit, and there are those who grieve the Spirit. And that's why the things that the Spirit alone can animate can't find expression in their lives. So they are looking for where they will get favor from. They are looking for where they will get wisdom from. They are looking for where lines will fall in there. Those things are byproduct of the manifestations of the Spirit. We call them the riches of glory. You don't beg for them. They are supposed to be your wealth. But until the Spirit takes over, it can't happen. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah 32 verse 15, it said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness can never become a forest. A fruitful field. And the fruitful field can become a forest. Somebody is not living under the authority of the Holy Spirit, but is hoping that his wilderness will suddenly become a great forest. It doesn't work like that. This thing is first of all a realm. The realm of the Spirit. And those who live there, they know the ways of God. They can carry the government of God. That's why they are called sons. Romans 8:14, Paul said, as many, not all, himself knows it's not all. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And sons are the bearers of divine government. as many as are led. It's not a gender thing. It's a yieldedness thing. Some don't know the Spirit. Some don't commune with the Spirit. Some don't obey the Spirit. That's why they cannot see the realities of the realm. It doesn't matter the church you belong to. Your pastor can be the most powerful pastor. You will be frustrated. You will have intervention from time to time. But victorious existence will be far-fetched. It will be a far cry. Go to some of these big churches where you see some of the most anointed pastors. Genuine, anointed, really loving and caring. But how much can he do? He's pastoring 10,000 people. Some are on appointment for 3 years. They can't see pastor. They become offended. They go. Because pastor is a human. What you should do is to find out what to do to graduate to a higher realm. Because there are protocols. There are ordinances. If you don't engage them, you can't enter there. And if you jump there, you will suffocate. No matter how you wish, you cannot see yourself 40,000 feet just like that. You have to be carried by an aircraft. And if you are carried, you have to remain under the atmosphere that the aircraft creates. If you are carried by an aircraft to 40,000 feet and you jump, 3 things out of many will happen to you. Number one, you start freezing because the temperature there is different. Number two, you start suffocating because what is there is not your atmosphere. It's helium you will meet there, not hydrogen, not oxygen. You will start meeting strange gases like helium, like hydrogen, strange gases. And then number three, you will suffocate for some seconds. Then suddenly you discover you will be falling by free fall because there's no gravity there. The next thing that will happen is that you will actually change to the spirit realm because your spirit will be forced out of your body when you collide on the earth. So the realm is there, but you must be carried. A Christian is living in the sensual realm, but he wants to jump and catch something in the spirit. Oh God, they don't jump. You are carried. Holy men of God spake as they were carried. You are carried and there you stay. So there is the realm of faith where you are ruled by the word or the revelations of scripture. Then there is the realm of the spirit where you are ruled by the Holy Ghost. And then there is the realm of love where you are powered by the character of Christ. You have matured. You have walked with him now. You can embody his essence. His essence, his character is what rules you now. We also call this realm the realm of obedience. Because those who love him, they obey him naturally. Because they have become like him. The obedience is not do's and don'ts anymore. Obedience is nature. Hope you know that because you have the nature of a man, no matter how stubborn you are, you will sleep at night. Obedience is default. You don't obey because they say sleep. You must sleep. You can defile it for 1 day. You may defile it for 2 days. But you can't cross 3 days. No matter how rebellious you are, your eyes will become heavy. You must sleep. No matter how rebellious you are, you must be hungry after a few hours. Some may be 12 hours. Some may be 24 hours. Some are 30 minutes. They wake up with hunger. But you must obey hunger. You start looking for food. Even a child that is born, the minute the child is born, because it came out with human nature, the child begins to obey the law of hunger. Nobody teaches a child to eat, and nobody teaches the child to eat through the mouth. It is an intrinsic understanding. So the child starts putting, and the nature compared compliance. So when you carry God's nature, you come into the realm of love. And that realm compels obedience. So Jesus said in John 14:21, he said, they that obey me, they are the ones that love me. And he said, because they love me, I will manifest myself. I will come to them. I will manifest myself to them. So they come into the realm of reality. Some are living in the realm of the senses. Some are living in the realm of reality. And then the final realm is the realm of God. Beyond what God says. You know, I started by telling you there is a place God was before God began creation. So beyond creation, God has a place where God dwells. Can I show you something? Where is the original house of God? You know, God has an apartment where he lives in. You know that apartment is you. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are an apartment. You are an apartment. But before God created anything, God was living somewhere. Where was that? Let me show you something. The Bible said, God is light. How many of you have read that before? 1 John 5, I think verse 5 or 7. It said, God is light. Then the Bible said, in 1 Timothy 6:16, God dwells in God, in light. That is unapproachable. How many of you have read that before? So God is light. God dwells in light. What is he telling you? That means God lives in God. So God is not just a person. God is also the house of God. So there are times when beyond you living in a realm, God can bring you into himself. So there is a realm where God can carry you to. Everything you touch is not just what God made. It's God himself. There are those who have entered into God. I know the Bible said in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. That's true because he is covering us. His wings has covered us. But there is a reality where the same way Christ is in you. You know, he said, whoever is born again is a new creature. He said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. He's showing you possibilities in the spirit. Whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. So God is telling you that he wants you to live not just in a realm, but inside of him. And a point comes when your experience and your environment becomes God. It is a bit deep, so I'll leave it like that. My focus tonight is the realm of reality. Because if you live here, you will have victory every day of your life. But many Christians don't know how to journey into reality. And there are certain spiritual ordinances that forms the legal ground for reality. Number one is what I will deal with today. I don't want to list it so that you are not tempted. Because usually people, somebody told me, apostle will say five and touch two. It takes mercy and grace to communicate spiritual mysteries. It's not intellectual. There are times when you want to say it, but utterance is withdrawn. You start struggling, you are talking nothing. You are just rigmaroling, so you stop. Because they've not given you utterance to communicate it. It's the one that the people can receive that God allows you to share. Glory to God. So, the first ordinance that make for reality are the things uttered by God, the words of God. Because the words of God are not just informative, they frame reality. How many of you know that? That's why God created with words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 1. Verse 2, the word became void. The earth became void. Darkness was upon the face of the waters. The spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the deep. When God wanted to recreate the world, was he walking? God said. God said. God said. God said. So when you want to find reality, reality is captured within the utterance of God. So the first ordinance for reality are the utterances of God. So when you find a man who is living in reality, he's living within the sphere of divine utterance. That's why you see us here preaching every day. I'm the head and not the tail. We don't look like it yet. But we refuse our present situation defining our reality. You know, those who are in the senses, when you talk like that, they say, yes, we agree. All these Christians with big talk, they don't know that the way we journey into reality is by climbing walls. Because walls are gates, walls are portals, walls are accesses, walls are dimensions. When a spirit is talking, he's not just informing you. His walls can become a reality. It can encase you for a season of your life. So if you want to live in reality, the first ordinance for reality are the words of God. When God talks, he creates realms. He creates atmospheres. He creates dimensions. He creates possibilities. His words are creative. They are not just informative. And so when you find a man living in reality, he can tell you all the words put together to frame that ecosystem. He will tell you, 5 years ago, God told me. 2 years ago, God told me. 3 years ago, God told me. So when you meet that man, you will be making a big mistake touching his money. His money is not his reality. His money is a byproduct of his reality. You will be making a big mistake touching his name. His name is not his reality. His name is a byproduct of his reality. You'll be making a big mistake touching the people around him, thinking you are hurting him. Those people, they are channels God used, but they didn't make him. Are you following what I'm saying? See, in the human world, when they want to hurt you, they break into your house, steal your money. They think you are finished. Or they cause problem between you and one or two friends. They think you are finished. Or they go damage your name by campaigns of calumny. They think you are finished. But when you find a man who lives in reality, the more you try to tear his name down, the bigger he becomes. You know what? The name was given from reality. Your name shall no longer be called Abram, but Abraham. But the name is not the thing. It's where he entered, where that name was given to him. So long as he remains there, the name can still change. The reality is constant. Because it's the reality that bettered the name. You know, when they became big, Lot said, our men are fighting themselves. Go your way, let me go my way. Lot didn't know the secret. Abraham now kept quiet. Because he saw agitation. He was looking like Abraham wanted to oppress him as the senior to pick the better land. Abraham said, pick anyone you want. And he stood. Lot. He entered geography. He entered geology. He entered philosophy. He entered economics. He was permuting. Permutations were going on. Where will I do business and cattle rearing will make sense? Where will I find green grass so that my cattle will ingress? Where will I make connection with travelers who pass through so that they can buy and sell my cattle? Abraham was whispering. The Bible says suddenly, Lot saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and he saw that they were green. Ah, this is good for cattle rearing. I'm about to become the richest man. And he pointed. Abraham said, go. You know what Abraham told Lot? You go one side, I go one side. So I thought, as Lot was going to Sodom, Abraham will go to the opposite side. He didn't know the meaning of one side and one side. One side means one realm and another realm. If Lot was patient, he would have learned the mysteries of traversing realms. He wasn't patient. He thought Abraham was about number of cattle. Now we are equal cattle, so we are the same. Who are you? You have 100 cows, I have 100 cows. You know 2 governors, I know 3 governors. Okay, choose your side. And Lord, choose green grass. When time came for Abraham to choose, the Bible said, from where he stood, he looked into the heavens. I'm living from somewhere. And when he looked up, the Almighty showed up and said, Abraham, from where you are standing, look left, look right, look front, look back. Anything you can see, I have given to you. Guess what? Even where Lot went to belong to Abraham. Even the side that Lot chose belonged to Abraham. That's why when God was going to destroy Sodom, he didn't talk to Lot. Lot didn't own Sodom. He didn't talk to the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom didn't own Sodom. God came down from heaven. He has already given everything Abraham saw to Abraham. Lot and Sodom were included. God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. The iniquity of Sodom has risen to heaven. They are worthy of destruction. Abraham kept quiet and God was going. Abraham now remembered, my little nephew is there. Abraham now said, Lord, don't be offended. I can negotiate on this matter. I own this territory. You gave it to me. He said, how can you destroy the righteous and the evil? What if you find 50 men? God said, if I find 50 righteous men, I will spare the land. God was going. Abraham now remembered. It's like the only lesson Lot learned was business. Why business is important? He didn't learn traveling, journeys. He didn't learn by location. He didn't learn faith. He didn't learn transmission. He may not be able to raise 50. And he said, Lord, please don't be offended. What if you find 45? God said, if I find 45, I will not destroy the land. Oh, God was going. He said, my Lord, don't be offended. What gave him the power? Something that was concluded from the heavens. The council of the Godhead concluded a nation will be destroyed. A man was on earth negotiating. Realities of realms. That's why it would be foolish of you to look at somebody. I can speak better English. I know more people. I have more money. We are talking realms. You are talking byproducts. Where have you journeyed to in the spirit? What have you seen? What do you know? Where are you standing in the courts of heaven? See, my brothers and my sisters, don't waste your time pursuing the things that are byproducts. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom. Every other thing shall be added. Don't pursue additions. God himself came down. God. And Abraham was negotiating. That means something can be concluded in heaven and men can change it on earth. Yes. If those men on earth are living heaven on earth, it means they are part of the court. They are part of the council. Legislation can still go on because the cardinals of the earth realm have not made their own impute. And Abraham showed up. You gave me this constituency. Can I make an impute? God said, you are right to make impute. And Abraham said, what if you find 30 righteous men? What if you find 20 righteous men? What if you find 10 righteous men? And God followed. If Abraham said 3, God would have followed. But Abraham thought Lot had learned something. But unfortunately, he learned nothing. Do you know what the Bible said? Even when Lot was saved, God told Lot, the angel, I'm saving you because of Abraham. Did you not notice that the same land that they told Lot not to look, Abraham stood and was watching it. Nothing happened. One is landlord. Another one is a wanderer. Said, carry with you not money. The Bible said, carry with you not men. Carry with you is a words. Carry words. Carry words. You know the problem with you? You are not searching for words. He says, search ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He said, none of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it, his spirit gathered it. The prophet said, In Habakkuk 2 verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and I will see what he will say to me. They knew how to rule this realm. And he said, write a vision. Make it plain upon tables that he might run that readeth it. I will see what he will say. What have you caught? What have you heard? John was talking. Oh my God. Oh my God. See, you can become a veteran. You can become an answer to your generation. But how much wars have you caught? The devil is distracting us with movies, with gossip, with malice, with backbiting, even with legitimate things. I know there is a house rent to pay. I know there is a school fees to pay. But hear this. If you don't catch a word after you pay school fees, another problem can rise that will destroy you. But when you catch a word, it becomes your atmosphere. It becomes your habitat. Did you read the story of Peter? In Matthew 14, you read from verse 24 to 30. They saw Jesus walking on water. How did the water freeze? How is he walking on water? He's a spirit. And he said, no, it is I. And Peter said, if it be thou. He didn't say, I will come. Because he knew. You don't walk on water as a man. You walk on the word on water. If it be thou, bid me come. And he said, come. 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 The moment he said, come, Peter stepped on the water. Water carried him. He stepped on the water. Science suddenly was suspended. There's a law of flotation. There's a law called law of flotation, or the law of buoyancy. He violated the law. He began to walk. So long as he kept his attention on come, he was walking on water. The Bible said when he turned from the world and started seeing the boisterous wind, he sank. That means it was not about the water. It was about the word. When God speaks, God creates. See, your health has been created. You have not entered. The Bible said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he said, he will quicken your mortal body. Your health has been created. You have not caught it. Do you know that your promotion has been created? The Bible said, you are the head and not the tail, but you have not caught it. You need to catch it. Any job you go to, you will be rising like this. They will be wondering how you will be rising. Your prosperity has been created. You have not caught it. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. If I sell water, I will prosper. If I preach the gospel, I will prosper. If I sell cows, I will prosper. If I enter politics, I will prosper. Whatsoever he doeth. He didn't say, if he's doing business in Dubai, if he's doing business in Ghana, if he's doing business in London, you'll see sons of light traveling from one location to another, looking for greener pasture. Greener pasture is not a natural location. It's the word. It's the word. He said, I am the door. Him that enters me shall come in and go out, and he shall find pasture. Pasture is not in England. Pasture is not in America. Pasture is not in Dubai. It's where the world is. Yeah. none shall what? Permit. My mouth has commanded it. My spirit has gathered it. Search! He said, until I come. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. Verse 15. He said, give thyself wholly to these things. He said, you're profiting. Don't tell me you are a banker so you cannot read. You are not a banker. You are a spiritual man working in the bank. Don't tell me I'm a politician. You are not a politician. You are a spiritual man doing politics. Don't tell me I'm a businessman. You are a spiritual man doing business. Read for yourself. Search ye out of the book and read. That's how you catch the word. The word is hanging for those who can catch. Number two, how do you catch the word? Meditate. Meditate. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart, not out of your brain, out of your mouth. You shall what? Meditate upon it day and night. The word meditate is the word hagar. Talk it to yourself. Talk it. Mutter it. Chew it. Talk it. Some of you wait until a pastor is preaching. Then you are on fire. See the way you are standing. It shouldn't happen only on Sunday. Don't wait until you come here and I'm talking to you. You are charged. Gather 10 scripture. Gather 20 scripture. Talk it to yourself. Let it enter your spirit. I am the head and not the tail. Any land I step my feet into is mine for the taking. The sons of strangers shall stand to build my walls. I will decree a thing. It shall be established unto me. Talk to yourself. That's how you catch it. Number three, how do you catch the word? Obey it. Let it not end in your mind. Let it not end in your mouth. Let it enter your action. James 1:22-25. He was showing us those who apprehend the word. He said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Number 24, he said, he beholded himself, goeth away, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But verse 25, he said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in all his deed. The word you don't obey, you can't catch. It's the one you obey that becomes yours. The one you obey, that's yours. Read. Meditate. Obey. Then number four, listen to those who preach the word. How shall they believe except there be a preacher? How shall there be a preacher except one be sent? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Romans 10. To exhortation. Even me, the preacher, there are times when I sit down, I hear Andrew Womack, I hear Bishop Oyedepo, I hear Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, I hear Zach Poonen, I hear Derek Prince, I'm hearing Dr. Paul Enenche, I'm hearing. And there are sometimes a message of 2 hours, I catch one sentence, one, only one. The other day I was listening to Bishop and he said, wisdom and stability shall be the strength of thy times. He attacked me like fire. I became a seeker of wisdom. So for me to have stability, I need wisdom. Search. Seek. Take time. Sit on it. Your life can become a wonder. This is not you. Make no mistakes about it. This is not you. This is the journey you have made. This is where you have arrived. But there is more. You were created to wear glory. When you enter there, we will know by the glory you carry. Because Romans 8:30 said, him that he foreknew, he predestinated. Him that he predestinated, he called. Him that he called, he justified. Him that he justified, he glorified. That's why Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Finally, how do you catch the word? Stay in his presence. Stay there. If you stay there not too long, you will hear him. Because he talks. Our God is not a dead God. The Bible said in Acts 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, the prophets and teachers of Antioch, the Holy Ghost said, he is still talking, but only those who stay here. You are in a rush. You think he's a servant spirit. He's a king spirit. Is there that wait that he talks to? Wait there. You can wait in prayer. You can wait in worship. You can wait in fasting. But wait. If God tells you one thing, your generation will celebrate you. Because when he enters, it becomes light. He said, Gentiles, come to your light. Kings, come to the brightness of your rising. I don't know. See, some of you, if you discover yourself in the spirit, you start weeping. Because the version God is seeing versus the version you are manifesting are worlds apart. He said, who is he that saith a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Every negative utterance, verdict proclaimed over your destiny, I stand by the authority of the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree they are canceled. He spoke to an impotent man at 75. I have made you a father of nations. It was not stopped. In the name of Jesus, every barren area of your life is commanded to become fruitful. He spoke to a persecutor and a blasphemer. He became an apostle. Any area of your life that is bedeviled by rebellion, I decree, receive the grace to live righteous. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. In the name of Jesus, that becomes the definition of your existence. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish, have dominion. He said, you are the head and not the tail. From today, every power that has buried your destiny, their hold over you is broken. Arise, shine. Your voice will be heard. You will fulfill your destiny. From today, the Lord makes you a ruler. Rule over circumstances. Rule over sin. Rule over demons. Rule over money. Rule over systems. Rule over territories. Rule in the realm of man. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand wherever you are standing. There's a fresh anointing for speed and for breakthrough. Those of you that the devil said your case is over, a new page has been written for you. Now receive that unction. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those connected online, the oil that exhorts on, the oil that gives speed, in the name of Jesus, take! Open before.
who this is for, but the Lord says to tell you, you will not die. You are not going back to him by disease, by sickness, or by infirmity. In the name of Jesus, the verdict of death is cancelled. And that person that has been locked up in a pit without visibility, process is over, but demons are taking over. Now, come out! I see the Lord anointing hands for wealth, because I hear the name Sons of Consolation. Men that will sponsor kingdom agenda in the billions. In the name of Jesus, there are three of you. That oil will fall on you now. Take, take, take. Thank you, Father. New seasons. New seasons. New seasons. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big hand. Somebody shout! Glory, glory, glory to God. From today there will be shout of praise, shout of glory, shout of thanksgiving. From your house to your office to your ministry, shout! I just heard scrotal enlargement has been restored to normal. And that pain has disappeared. You can't walk out of here with infirmity. I declare you healed. In Jesus' matchless name. Have you been blessed? Why not jam those hands and celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.